the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. In their good-hearted approach to Americans, over the years, Congress has created tax incentives to encourage you and me to save for our retirement. And normally, the money that we put into our 401k, our pension plans, or our IRAs are all tax deductible. More importantly, while your money is sitting in that pension plan, the money grows tax deferred until the time you take it out after age 59 and a half or after you're required to take it out at 70 and a half. And that's when you wind up paying taxes on it. Those are two important dates you should remember, by the way. Eventually, you're going to pay a tax on it. One way or the other, you still have to pay the tax. When you do take it out, it is taxed as ordinary income, whether it's a dividend or a capital gain, and it is taxed at the highest rates to which you are subject. And the majority of savings accounts generally tend to be 401k plans or work pension plans at work. So what does all this mean anyway, Jim?
Well, I just want to sound the alarm. Our Congress critters are looking to change the tax laws regarding pension plans and the taxation of IRAs specifically. But before we do that, John, we need to let everyone know the way the law works now, because then you'll understand where they're going with this tax bill. This was originally proposed last September, and it's being incorporated into a new tax bill we'll get to in a minute. But these are the laws as they currently stand. If you are working today, working at a, let's say, a public corporation or private corporation in the private sector, if your company has a 401k plan, you can put up to $18,000 a year, and that doesn't count whatever your employer matches. And there is a $6,000 catch-up provision that you can use if you're over age 50. So you can salt away $24,000. If you are putting money into an IRA, it is $5,500 for an IRA. It's $5,500 for a Roth IRA. And there is a catch-up provision for $1,000. So you can put up to, let's say, $6,500. If you are funding for a defined benefit pension plan, you can fund for a benefit at retirement of $215,000, which is, I think, the limit, John, on what Congress people get. I think they get a little more than that if you are a committee chairman. So it matches what Congress people get. If you have a SEP IRA, you can put up to $54,000. And a simple IRA is $12,500 with a catch-up provision of $3,000. Now, we have talked over the years here on the program, if you're doing tax planning, one of the most effective things you can do, especially after the passage of Obamacare that has all kinds of new taxes that kick in on your income, your deductions, and your exemptions once you reach a certain level of what is called adjusted gross income. That's the tax figure on the bottom of the front page of your tax return. Well, if you have money that you're putting into a 401k, a SEP IRA, whatever pension plan you have, that reduces that adjustable gross income. So it is one of the most effective tools you have at your disposal for reducing your income taxes. So the nice thing about it is you get the tax deduction up front, and while inside the pension plan, it grows tax deferred. Now, John mentioned earlier, there's two important ages you need to remember. If you put money into a pension plan, they don't want you to touch it until age 59 and a half. Otherwise, they're going to charge you not only income tax, but they're going to charge you a 10% penalty. And then at age 70 and a half, you are required to take a minimum distribution, and if you fall short of taking that distribution, there is a 50% tax penalty. Now, there's ways to get around the 59 and a half called annuitization. That's a subject for another show. So, John, those are the tax laws as they stand today. Those are the limits that you can put into a plan. So, obviously, Congress wants you saving for retirement, which is why they created the incentive.
Okay, so we've always known that they tax it, you know, when you take it out, when you withdraw. But am I reading this right? I mean, do we have new taxes on the way? Or are they trying to sneak this one by us?
This one is kind of, let's sneak this one in there. Normally, the new taxes are coming, and they're going to be taxing IRAs in a different way and take away a provision that allows you to tax defer paying taxes on that IRA. And the reason they're doing this, John, is it'll happen when the IRA owner dies. And remember, once the IRA owner dies, well, guess what? That person is no longer a voter unless they live in Chicago. So normally, if you are married, what typically happens between a husband and wife, each spouse leaves their IRA to their surviving spouse. So husband leaves it to the wife, wife leaves her IRA to her husband. And there are no immediate taxes. If a husband dies, his IRA, if he names his wife as the beneficiary, it'd simply go to the wife. It would be in her name, and there would be no taxes. The only taxes, once again, would apply if the wife reaches age 70 and a half, at which point she would have to take mandatory distributions, or simply if she was beyond age 59 and a half and she wanted to take money out of the IRA to live on, she would pay ordinary taxes. The problem is, if there is no spouse, or you just name the estate, or in many cases, some people name their living trust, which could be a mistake, or no beneficiary, 100% of that IRA is subject to income taxes and possible estate taxes at the time of death. And John, I've seen this devastate IRAs over the years. I saw this a lot more probably in the 90s, in the early part of the last decade. What would happen is they would name the spouse as the beneficiary and then the trust as the backup beneficiary. Well, the trouble is, if unless there were stretch provisions within the trust, all of that IRA would be subject to income taxes in the year of death. Now, just for example, let's suppose you had $1 million in an IRA and your trust or no children were named as beneficiaries. What would happen is that $1 million would be subject to state income taxes and federal income taxes in the year of death, which could be as high as 44.6% on the federal side. And here in my own state of California, it could be 13.3. So that's 57% income taxes. Then on top of that, there could also be estate taxes if the estate was large enough. Remember, at one time, the exemption was only $600,000. Then it grew to a little over $1 million. Then it grew to $3.5 million. Today, it's roughly almost $5.5 million. So in order to avoid the immediate tax, you would put something called an IRA stretch. And what the IRA stretch allowed you to do is, let's say you have $900,000 in your IRA and you pass away. It goes to your wife. It stays at around $900,000. Your wife passes away and you have three children. Your wife would name the three children, or in the case of both of you living, you would name the spouse as the first beneficiary, and then let's say the three children as the secondary beneficiaries. And so $300,000, let's say on a $900,000 IRA, $300,000 would go equally, let's say, to each child. That child then could then take that IRA and allow it to compound tax deferred over their lifetime, taking the minimum distribution based on their life expectancy. So let's say they had a life expectancy of 30 years, they would take out 1/30th a year, allowing that IRA to compound tax deferred, continuing to grow and not subject to the big taxes that would be subject if it was left to the estate and all subject to income taxes in the year of death. So this IRA stretch provision has been a very important tax planning tool that has allowed individuals, because a lot of individuals, we'll get to this in a minute, have a good bulk, maybe a third, sometimes even more of their assets are in their, let's say, 401k, their 403b plans, or any kind of pension plan they have. And then what happens when they retire or they sell their business, it gets rolled over into an IRA. So that IRA could represent a very substantial asset, and what you don't want to do is have it all taxable in the year of death. And so that's why these IRA stretch provisions have been very popular as a tax deferment tool, allowing the assets to compound tax deferred for your children.
You know, that's something that you don't even think about, Jim, most of the time. You know, most of us, when we die, if you're married, you specify your spouse as a beneficiary. But if you have a trust and they're a beneficiary of your retirement plan, that changes the whole tax status. And I don't think most people tend to think of that. I didn't.
No. And that's why typically if you have a large IRA or an IRA, what you would want to do is name your spouse as the first beneficiary. And then the contingent beneficiaries would be your children. This would allow your children to take out that IRA distribution. Let's say you leave it to them in equal shares over their lifespan, over their life expectancy, which would mean it would be taxed at a much lower rate. Well, all of that is about to change. And I can remember, John, individuals that did not do proper planning with IRA stretches. It was typically where they just named the spouse in a trust as a beneficiary. And what would happen is, and I can remember a case here, a very wealthy individual attended one of our seminars that we did. We used to do a lot of seminars here locally in the 90s, and attended one of the seminars. And I had told him at that time his IRA was worth over $3 million. It was a part of a pension plan he had set up in his own business, rolled it over to an IRA. And I told him, I said, given the size of his estate back then, I think his estate was over $10 million and the exemption was $1 million. He was the sole survivor. $1 million of his assets had gone into his wife's trust who preceded him. And I told him it was subject to taxes. Well, he never got around to doing anything. His children found my business card. They came in to see me. And as we took a look at the estate, unfortunately, the way it was set up, basically the government, it was all going to be subject to income taxes. California taxes back then were 9.3, and the federal tax under Bill Clinton was 39.6. So you had 40% federal taxes and almost 10% state taxes. There was 50%. And then on top of that, you had a 50% estate tax. So, you know, almost 70% of that $3 million went in federal income taxes and estate taxes. So under current laws, individuals who don't need or have large IRAs can pass that account along to their heirs, and then that money is allowed to keep growing tax deferred throughout the heir's lifetime with minimal taxes due on withdrawals.
Well, you know, I mean, as a parent, and we've done that in our estate planning, many people want to leave their efforts to their kids, all right, if, you know, both husband and wife pass on. But I didn't realize that provision was there. Now, why do they want to mess with that anyway?
Well, what is Congress always looking for? They're looking for ways to get more taxes, because there is literally somewhere close to $25 trillion that is in retirement accounts for many Americans. It represents one of their largest assets. Well, here's where the new taxes come into play. Last September, the Senate Finance Committee passed a bill on a vote of 26-0, which means it was unanimous. There were no people objecting to this. So all our Congress critters in the Senate want to see this bill get passed, and it would kill the IRA stretch provisions for non-spousal beneficiaries. So if you are married, you can still leave your IRA to your surviving spouse. There's not going to be any taxes. The only income taxes would be whatever your surviving spouse takes out to live on, or a required distributions that would begin at your surviving spouse's age 70 and a half. This proposal, however, is going to be included in a new bill called the Retirement Enhancement and Savings Act. And in the Retirement Enhancement and Savings Act, this will be a provision in that bill.
Yeah, Jim, but, you know, I mean, I always like the titles on these bills. The word enhancement, you know, the Retirement Enhancement and Savings Act. Oh, they care about you. It sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the dictionary, enhance means to make greater, as in value, beauty, or reputation, or augment. So that is the typical English language. But when you're in Washington, you have to learn congressional speak. The word enhance does mean what it says. The only difference is it doesn't mean enhance your benefit. It means enhanced revenues to Congress, because the Enhanced Act would require beneficiaries on an inherited IRA or other qualified plan to pay all the taxes due within 5 years of the owner's death. So in an example, if you had $1 million IRA, let's just say you were the single beneficiary, the only child of your parents. Dad dies first. He leaves $1 million to mom. Mom then dies and leaves you $1 million. Now, up until this point, let's say if you were age 40 with a life expectancy of 40 years, you would take out 1/40th a year over your lifetime. So very little problem with paying high taxes, and it wouldn't be subject to the high income taxes at death had it been left taxable in, let's say, your mother's estate. However, now that $1 million under this new law would be required to be taken out over a 5-year period. So on $1 million, you would have to take $200,000 out a year. Now you can imagine what that's going to do to a lot of couples. Well, first of all, let's, in the case of $1 million, taking out $200,000 a year is going to put most couples into the higher Obamacare medical taxes. That's the additional 3.8% tax on dividends, interest, and capital gains. It's also the 0.9% tax on what we call Medicare tax on taxable income. So it's going to throw you into the same high tax brackets, especially on larger IRAs, that the IRA stretch provisions were put in place to avoid. So they're going back to high taxation of pension plans because, John, they're looking for ways to get new money. Where are you going to get it? Where's a big chunk of wealth? A big chunk of wealth is in the retirement plans.
Yeah, but you know, you and I have been talking for some time on the Financial Sense News Hour about how Congress sooner or later would not be able to leave all of these pensions alone, because as the need for money grew more and more intense, as things got more and more desperate, they'd look toward that. But you know, always it would seem that there are exemptions and exclusions built in. I mean, they have 457 plans, and so you would think they'd build something in there to protect themselves. They usually do.
Well, they do. And they did.
Funny that.
There is an well, surprise, surprise. They pass laws, but don't forget, they want to make sure they not apply to them, or at least it benefits them. There is an exclusion in this bill of $450,000, which applies to non-spouse beneficiaries. You couldn't get the double exemption for the way you can with state exemption. So there is a exemption for $450,000. There are some exemptions for disabled, handicapped people, but basically $450,000. So let's just take an illustration. Let's suppose that you are a surviving child, mom dies, the IRA is $1,450,000. You, the beneficiary child, could take $450,000, put it aside in a kind of like a special IRA where it would grow tax deferred, and you would take out, let's say if your life expectancy was 40 years, you would take out 1/40th a year. So you can exclude under this bill $450,000. The other million, in this case of the $1,450,000, that million would have to be taken out over 5 years. That would be $200,000 a year. And John, you know, when you take, especially when you have large amounts like that, you can imagine what that's going to do to, let's say, the heirs or your children's tax brackets when you're taking out substantial sums of money. And that's what they want. They want substantial sums of money being taken out, because it's going to be subject to as much as 44.6% federal tax and whatever state taxes. Might behoove you to move to a state where there is no state taxes. At least you could save some money there.
Okay, now let me bring up a slight side to this. What about Roth IRAs? Because as I understood it, if you own the Roth for more than 5 years, there were no taxes when you take the money out. What about now?
This will also apply to Roths. Now, typically a Roth IRA, you could leave it to an heir, and that heir could allow that Roth IRA to compound tax-free during their entire lifetime. Well, this bill would put an end to that too. All Roth IRAs, even though let's say there was $1 million Roth in the same example, you would have to take out $200,000 a year or take and deplete that entire Roth IRA within 5 years. Now, you would owe no income taxes, but they don't want you compounding that Roth IRA and making it larger and growing during your lifetime. So the difference here is the Roth IRA would be non-taxable, but still have to be depleted in a 5-year period. So this, in essence, John, would create a huge tax windfall for the government. So hence the name of the bill, the Enhanced Retirement and Savings Act, meaning enhanced tax revenues for Congress. The gist of the law is that the main source of wealth in this country is in retirement assets. As of 2016, $24.5 trillion, representing almost 35% of household wealth, is in retirement plans, and they are looking at a way to get at it, because people who have advisors and have done proper planning have been able to minimize the tax on their lifetime accumulation of their retirement assets by the IRA stretch provisions, which have allowed their children to be beneficiaries and grow these IRAs tax deferred for their own retirement years. Instead of now, under this provision, they would get whacked up front over a 5-year period, subject to very high income taxes. And that is a bill. And John, it seems both parties, when it came out of the Finance Committee, usually when they're raising taxes, you're going to see some maybe disagreements between party members. But this passed unanimously, 26-0, and will be incorporated into the Enhanced Retirement Savings Act, where Congress is basically going to be coming after those IRAs, and they're going to do away with that stretch provision that has worked so well for so long.
So if we smash all of this together in a way that you can understand, the IRAs are going to be taxed more heavily. This is a very, very big difference for all of you millennial heirs out there. You're going to take it, so to speak, when it comes to your inheritance, because this is designed to enhance the government's coffers, not your coffers. Now, how do you plan around this or for this?
Well, you're going to have to make your heirs aware of that exclusion of $450,000. So at least you can take $450,000, which is still a good chunk of change, and you can allow that to apply to the old IRA stretch rules, where you can take it out over the balance of your lifetime, allowing it to accumulate tax deferred. The other thing that is going to mean, I think, John, Roth conversions are going to become more important, especially for many of you listening to this program. If you are starting to accumulate substantial assets in your 401k plan, you know, especially for many of you that work for companies that have matching contributions, where, you know, you're approaching $1 million in many cases, if not more than that, this is something you're going to want to change in your estate plan to make sure that your children take advantage of that 450 exclusion. Let's just say that we'll just round this off and say you have 3 kids and you have $1,450,000. Well, you know what? Of that 450 exclusion, each child would get $150,000 exclusion that they could take and allow to compound tax deferred during their lifetime. You know, if they have 30, 40 years to accumulate that and grow it tax deferred, taking out a minimal distribution based on their life expectancy, that money can grow substantially. And the other thing we're going to be, you know, we're doing it now with our clients, we're doing a lot more Roth conversions, because at least the Roth, which if held 5 years is tax free, you don't have to pay any taxes. Your children won't, but they will have to deplete that Roth within 5 years. So the government doesn't want them to keep that Roth and allow that to compound tax free, you know, in perpetuity. So basically here, we're going to be doing a lot more Roth conversions, because this law is really going to be very devastating for a lot of children and millennials who are going to inherit their parents' large IRA assets, which are substantial. As I mentioned, pension assets as of the end of last year were nearly close to $25 trillion. And so Congress wants to get their mitts on that. And now that IRA stretch looks like it'll be going away. So look for when Congress comes back from summer recess and they start talking about tax reform, the Enhanced Retirement and Savings Act will do away with this IRA stretch provision that has been in place for so many years.
Tomorrow on the program, Jason Shingler is going to be with us. He's going to talk about estate planning for the super wealthy. But right now it's time to do here on our program our what we call the real life case study. As we do this, remember that this is an hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed. And we also have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that Jim is making here. So who is the fictitious couple this week?
This case this week is Barry and Audrey Stamper. Barry is age 65. Audrey is age 62. Both want to retire within 1 to 2 years. Barry's life expectancy is age 90. Aubrey is age 95. Risk tolerance, fairly conservative. Income with capital preservation was their income objective. Barry is a business owner. He's run a successful manufacturing company for over 2 decades and is beginning to contemplate retirement. The business is doing well, and he's had the ability to delegate his responsibilities among key employees that can manage the day-to-day operations. Now, aside from business, he also owns some commercial property that produces additional income for both he and his wife. His primary concern is how do they maximize the assets they have and how to reduce taxes. He would like to make sure that his grandkids all get a college education without the tremendous burden of debt. He also wants to make sure that some of his money is left to give to their church, as well as a few of their favorite charities. Audrey is a homemaker. She looks forward to her husband retiring so they can spend more time together. She's also, like her husband, concerned about kids and grandkids and wants to make sure that they have all the opportunities that she did not have growing up. She wants to minimize their taxes. I mean, who doesn't? She would prefer a simplified approach, if possible, to manage taxes and legacy planning, because estate planning, as you will hear with my guest tomorrow, can be quite complex. I mean, you can do everything from charitable trust, charitable lead trust, charitable remainder trust, foundations, family limited partnerships, all kinds of things that just get complex, where you spend almost every April meeting with your accountants and tax lawyers, and it can be an arduous task of just keeping up with all the tax changes. And always remember, whenever Congress puts something in place, as we just discussed on the IRA stretch, they can change the laws and take those benefits away. On a risk analysis of their risk tolerance in investing, their score was a 4. Their portfolio was 7. So it was, well, a little bit riskier than their own risk profile, but fairly close. The important things in their plan was to develop a plan that was simple and straightforward. They really didn't want complicated life. They already had complications in just running the business and pension. They wanted to update the asset allocation to reduce risk because they now wanted to move into that retirement mode, which is something, folks, you should be considering if you're 5 or 10 years away from a retirement. And because of the size of the estate, they wanted to minimize estate taxes and do some legacy planning for their children. Their essential budget was $130,000, $53,000 essential. That was $183,000. Barry's salary that he was taking out of the business was $300,000 a year. Rental income was about $40,000. Surplus income of almost $160,000 dollars a year. Discretionary budget for retirement wouldn't change much. It would be roughly about $54,000. Most of that is travel. And essential budget would drop down to about $105,000. That's mainly work-related expenses. Their Social Security would be $45,000. Rental income would be $40,000, a shortfall of $74,000. Now, here's where the issues really got into play. Their primary residence was worth about $750,000. The business was worth roughly, it was evaluated for estate planning at roughly $8 million. And their commercial office building was worth about $2.4 million. Barry's retirement plan was over $2 million. So this new IRA stretch thing is going to come in handy here. Audrey's retirement, $320,000. They had about $524,000 in joint accounts and about $136,000 in cash and precious metals. So total investment assets of roughly about $3 million. total assets of $14,110,000, with about liabilities of $140,000, which was the last remaining mortgage on their commercial building. Net worth roughly about $14 million. So even under today's tax laws, they would be subject to estate taxes of about 45%. Their basic concerns that we had to deal with was managing the estate taxes, especially for the benefit of their heirs, liquidity concerns, especially since $8 million of their $14 million estate consisted of Barry's business. What we did is we moved them into balanced accounts, both on Barry's retirement and Audrey's retirement, and we did the same with their joint account, except for we used tax-free bonds instead of taxable bonds there. Investment income was $81,000, so their total income with both pension, rental income, and investment income would be roughly about $167,000 less their budget, leaving them a surplus of about $8,000 a year. But we ran into some other issues. Because the size of their estate, they were going to be subject to 45% tax rates. Our objective was to keep the planning simple, since they did not want to get into complex charitable remainder, all the other kind of things and tax planning vehicles that we could do. In this case, we recommended establishing a second-to-die life insurance policy that would be placed in a life insurance or wealth replacement trust. Doing this would provide them with liquidity and help pay for the anticipated estate taxes, especially since two of their kids were in the business, because what would happen is the $8 million business would be included in their estate and estate valuation. Could be even more as the business continues to grow, and they wanted to have liquidity for estate taxes so the business would not have to be leveraged or sold, because the business operated, it was a manufacturing company, and it operated debt-free, which is how they were able to manage the financial crisis and go through the various recessions we go through in the economy, because there was no debt in the business. We recommended that Barry and Audrey use their IRA assets to meet their legacy planning goals for charity and nonprofits. We made this recommendation so that the charity would not have to pay taxes like they would. We also suggested that non-retirement assets be left to the family so that they would receive a stepped-up basis in cost, meaning that all the capital gains would be forgiven at death, and that include the gains on the commercial building, which was owned and leased by the business. That, in combination with life insurance, we suggested that they begin to sell some of their real estate in order to create more liquidity to meet their goals before and after their death. Now, given their concerns and the proximity to retirement and the size of the estate, we also recommended updating their investment portfolio to reflect a more conservative balance of mixed dividend-paying stocks, which were taxed at a lower tax rate, and also some tax-free bonds. So our strategy was to reduce portfolio volatility, provide greater diversification, but also reduce estate taxes and income taxes for the heirs.
And speaking of estate taxes, that will be the subject of the program, Estate Tax Planning for the Super Wealthy. Jason Shingler will be our guest. You know, Jim, I've always found in all the years I've tracked the governmental activities, whether state legislatures or the Congress, whenever they put a name on the bill, almost invariably, it means the opposite of what they're saying. It has a nice name, and it's debated, you know, if it hits the public spotlight, it's debated on the basis of the name and some of the nice gushy allegations about that. But it really does the opposite of what they say they're going to plan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you hear about Enhanced Retirement and Savings Act, enhanced, I'm thinking as a consumer, oh, that's better. Enhance, if you look it up in the dictionary, means to augment or to make better. Well, you have to understand congressional speak. It's an entirely different language. So when you hear the word enhanced, it doesn't mean enhanced for you. It means enhanced revenues for the government. And it's coming. And this one's a surefire thing to go through, because coming out of the Senate Finance Committee, it was voted 26-0. So not one senator objected to increasing taxes on IRAs as a future source of revenue. Remember, government is unable to live within its means. In order to support itself and get reelected, they're always giving away stuff and spending more money which means either the Fed's going to print the money or they're going to look at ways to pick your pocket. And this is a new one, and it's coming your way probably within this year. By the end of the year, it's anticipated that this, even if they don't get tax reform, this is a separate bill in itself. So nobody's going to object to this. If you have Republicans voting 100% for it, you can bet you that the Democrats are going to go along on anything that raises taxes. So just bear in mind, folks, if you have a large pension or IRA, you better start talking to your advisor about tax planning, because you're going to need to if you want to preserve much of your assets you've worked hard for your children and your heirs. In the meantime, well, we've run out of time. We'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, well, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.